This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You're here.
Jennifer's here. That's my Jennifer song.
Thank you for the serenade.
Okay, I have to say off the bat, I'm jealous of your shirt. You know, I like a good gingham.
Me too. It makes me happy. We gotta take what we can get now.
Yeah, totally.
All right, it says it's recording, so I'm gonna put on my little earphone things.
You're like the most professional guest we've had so far.
Well, that's terrifying. I'm so sorry.
How is Canada? Because it sucks here.
Well, feeling really lucky to be up here during the craziness.
Yep.
Yeah. Up here, it's much better. Needless to say, I don't want to rub it in.
Thank you so much.
I know you like our television recommendations. Have you discovered that show Alone?
Alone?
Oh, my God. It has like your name written all over it.
Yeah, Kate and I were having this talk the other day, and we were like, Jennifer should absolutely 100% be on the show Alone, because not only would you win, but you would win in some sort of iconic way.
Wait, a reality show about people who don't mind being alone? Is that
exactly
what it is?
Yeah, but they'll throw them in the middle of like Antarctica and be like, good luck.
Or actually the season 3 that I'm watching, they're in Patagonia.
Where you've vacationed.
Yeah, I spent my 40th birthday there.
Okay, so then you're perfect for that challenging landscape.
But you're supposed, it sounds more like a survival show.
It is, but it's legit.
They get 10 people, okay? Each one is allowed to choose 10 items, and then they get dumped in different parts of either the Arctic or in northern Canada or in Patagonia, where the fuck ever. And they have to survive for as long as humanly possible. There's no time limit.
So our question to you, because we know you have the built-in stuff.
What built-in stuff?
You know, the like,
I think shelves when you say that. I think I go built-in.
The stuff. Strength and the,
you know?
You've got built-in stuff. As you know, you go on these excursions by yourself into the snow with your two dogs, and then you'll call giggling later. And you're like, oh my God, I lost my phone. My backup phone went dead. But you know what? I thought to myself, I'm okay. And I'm like, I'm thinking I would die just from the thought of dying. And you're just like, no big deal.
No, you just need to stay really, really calm, because that's how people die, when they get scared. Not that I haven't been scared, by the way. The other day, let's talk about time. Time during this period is on its own strange trajectory. Like, it feels like past, present, future have all been scrambled, and they never really made sense anyway. So why did we construct it that way? But was out on the trail, and there was snow. There was during the early, I guess, spring. So up here, there's still a lot of snow. And I went out with the wrong gear, thinking that I was just, oh, I'm just going to go out for 2 hours, no big deal. And then, you know, 4 hours later, and it's raining.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, no, I did get a little, I had a moment of, why didn't you pack the right thing? I did have that moment. But I think with the Alone show, it sounds too much like a survival kind of show.
Okay, we're not going to go through 10 items, but what would be your top 5 items that you would bring in order to survive any situation?
I think it's really important to stay warm and to stay dry.
That's, I'm going to say that. Warm, dry, get some food, find fresh water.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing is the ability to keep your mind still, more than anything, like more than any physical object. And so I would make sure that I would bring things that would help me keep my mind quiet. So to make sure that in any circumstance, I was warm enough.
So like a sleeping bag?
Yeah, a sleeping bag would be good.
Definitely the right gear is really important.
Not long ago, I was on a kayaking camping trip. I realized like staying warm and dry, that was really, really important because I wasn't really doing that. I was cold and wet a lot of the time. But I did inadvertently end up snorkeling with a humpback whale, so that was good. But I would fail in that show. That's just the fact. If it were, you know, the meditating in a cave show, I might stand a chance, but not, you know, no. I'm not much of a survivalist, I fear.
I hope you would bring a fire starter and not rely on a bow drill.
Well, obviously.
Well, some people rely on a bow drill and then they're like, oh shit, I can't make a fire.
I don't know what a bow drill is.
A bow drill is that thing where you rub the stick and the string together to friction.
And you make it smoke and then,
and you make an ember and then that ember. But these people are like, I just bought the bow drill and they're fucked because they can't start a fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd have the right gear. A fire starter.
When I was a girl, I went to this camp in Colorado called Chile, where we would go on horse packs into the mountains for like 4 or 5 days. And you had the ability to like win different patches. Like you could win your horse packing patch or you could win your hiking patch. And one of the things I had to do was I had to make a fire with one match. And going up the mountain, if you can imagine, like you're in a line of different campers, everybody's on their own horse and you're going up the mountain and there are pack horses carrying, you know, some of the materials that you need. And I was backing up the pack horse, like making sure that she would, you know, cross the stream. And this pack horse went to go kick my horse in the head. And I remember just seeing it almost like in slow motion. And I moved my horse's head. Her name was Irene. And the pack horse kicked me in the shin. I could feel the blood going down into my boot. You know, and I could feel myself getting a little dizzy, but I made it to camp. I didn't tell any of the counselors or anything right away. I got to camp and I couldn't really walk and I took the boot off and you could see the bone sticking out of the shin.
What?
It was a little crazy.
Your shin bone?
Yes.
You had a compound fracture.
I guess. I don't know. All I could think of is I need to make this fire with the one match. And they're saying, no, we have to send you down the mountain. You got to go to the hospital. I go, no. I have to make this fire like this. I only have like this trip to get this.
I want my patch.
I really wanted the patch. And so they let me make the fire. And so I did it. And I still have a wicked scar there on my left leg.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Were you in a cast?
No, they didn't put me in a cast, but I had to lie down with my foot up and which was really not my thing and do like riflery instead of, you know, hiking.
Which would also come in handy out in the wilderness.
Well, we watched Alone and we thought of you because if there's anyone we know that could survive, it would be you. Like I would tap out.
No, I wouldn't want to do a survivalist show. I'd like to do a meditation show. That would be fun. And really scintillating for the audience. I have no idea what I would take. I mean, the first thing I think of is my mala, which is not going to keep me warm. It may keep me happy, and it's not going to feed me. I might be relaxed and then quickly dead in the cave.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of the contestants on Alone are Canadian.
You know who would survive it? Pam Grier.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Pam Grier. Yeah, that's right.
I'd want to be on her wagon.
I think Pam used to bring her horses to Canada, or a few of them, didn't she?
Yeah, there was the stables. Remember, like, there was the baby shower was at the stables.
That's what it was.
To ride there with her trainer sometimes. Oh, yeah. That's when I started learning how to jump, like when I was like 40, because my mom wouldn't let me.
Wow. I wish I spent more time with Pam's horses in Vancouver. I forgot that she would always transport them.
Yeah, she had a great life. She had a really good life.
Seriously.
She's really figured it out. She's got the right idea about all of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Can I talk to you guys about the show that I really want you guys to do?
What?
Yeah.
First of all, what I would like to see is where you guys build things together. Particularly like what I would want to watch and what I need to learn is how you refurbish the trailer.
It should have been filmed because it wasn't easy.
Like if I bought one, would you would you do it? And you can film it or whatever, because I've been thinking about it so much. Like for the longest time, I've wanted like an Airstream or something. And
I know,
you know, just to go live that life.
I should have just given you the one I did. I don't know if I could ever do it again because it was one of the hardest things.
Was it?
Ever. Ugh. So hard. Well, let us know if you find one.
Did you see the video where we were dismantling Leisha's bar and she was practically sawing her thigh off with a skill saw?
It was really a camera angle problem because everyone thinks I was sawing my legs off, but it was nowhere near my It does look like it, though. It does look like it.
I was using a 2x4 with Birkenstocks, so, you know, I was just as thoughtless.
Another thing that we wanted to talk to you about was, where did you develop your skill for falling asleep? Anywhere.
Because it is a gift.
Just to let people know, we share an office in the production office. We'll all be in there at the same time a lot. And we all have dogs. So there'll be like dogs running everywhere. We'll order lunch and lunch is coming in. And it's between shots. And everyone's like, yeah, and this and that and this and that. And then you look over and Jennifer's all, She's like fully asleep on the couch. Like, I don't understand. You just are like out. But you were just awake like a minute earlier. And no. Then you're like fully in REM.
Oh my God, you guys.
Do you do that a lot in life around a lot of places?
I don't. Well, there's not the need to do it a lot in life, you know, especially now. You can just go take a nap if you need a nap. But I really feel like sometimes I just need to recharge my batteries. And all I need is 7 minutes. Like, give me 7 minutes and I can fall asleep and just get a little bit of a recharge. But I think it probably comes from being the middle child and being on cross-country trips and being in the center seat, you know?
They
have to block out everything. You develop like a superpower of blocking out sound and any kind of nonsense going on around you. Because I remember even as a kid in high school, like there'd be parties and they'd be blaring Led Zeppelin from some speaker. And sometimes I just needed a break from all the people in a way.
And I would just lay down sometimes right next to the speaker and I would just fall asleep. And people told me that sometimes they would just step over me. They would step over me and I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah. It's like training.
It's your superpower.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good one to have, to be able to fall asleep.
And the other thing that I'm very jealous of is your sensitivity to caffeine. Because you can drink a cup of coffee. For us, it's like, oh, it's a coffee. And for you, it's like if someone did like a whole bag of cocaine and they're just like ready to go.
I've been on shows where the crew is like, oh my God, Jennifer's having a cup of coffee. This is going to be highly entertaining.
Oh yeah. You're just like fully in Colombia, like, yeah. And then I like, and I'm like, wow.
Let's shoot this 13 different ways. Here's my idea.
And it's like one espresso.
Oh my God, you guys.
It's like you even announce it on set. You're like, I just want everyone to know I've had a cup of coffee. And it's like the crew just steps back 5 feet. And they're like, all right, we're ready.
The crew's who wanted me to have the coffee just to be entertained because you never know what I'm going to say, like, after I've had the coffee.
It's like, I'm really jealous of these gifts.
Like, tripping is really fun.
I know, like, well, I need, like, 8 cups to feel a little bit close to what you're feeling.
So what is that thing for you? Like, what plugs you in like that?
I don't know if I have that anymore. What brings me to that level? What would it be?
A big bag of cocaine.
No.
Maybe a couple of, like, margaritas. I think that would get me there.
Okay. The combo of the sugar
like
and the alcohol.
Sugar and the, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to experiment at some point.
Oh, I know what I like. Those guru drinks. Did you ever see those? You can get them at Whole Foods. They're energy drinks. If I have one of those, I'm flying.
So what do you do? What do you like?
That's what I do. Like if I need a boost, I'll drink a guru drink.
Right. But do you start talking more quickly? Do you have more ideas? Like what is the experience?
Physically, I'm more alert and ready to go on whatever thing I'm going to do. So I'll drink one of those maybe before a boxing class if I'm feeling sluggish and I know that hour is going to be focused.
Oh, I used to do those little yerba mate shots before I'd play on tour. Mm-hmm. We'd get them backstage and then everyone would do the yerba mate shot and to get through the hour. Because, you know, you get on stage at like 11.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'd be sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you do the yerba mate or the guru, like, do you have all of a sudden all of these different kind of ideas that come into your mind? Or
no, it's just a pep.
Nope, it's empty as always.
Yep. it just helps put one foot in front of the other.
There's nothing there.
Maybe a little faster. Maybe a little faster.
Because sometimes after I've had the coffee, I start to have two different, like, very disparate ideas that I figure out, like, how they're connected.
I wish I had that magic potion. And I wish I had the ability to take a nap anytime I needed one.
You're a nap. You can nap.
I don't nap often. It's not easy for me. The brain just doesn't stop.
Yeah. Meditation's already always really good.
I don't know if I have the patience for that even.
Yeah, she's laughing, like, don't go there.
So I know so many people love it, and I can't find my way there. But who knows? I have a long life ahead of me, hopefully. Let's talk about a couple of things on the L Word just for fun. Did you know that Bet and Tina were going to be such an iconic couple when you guys were first filming it?
No, I never thought that way. Like, I don't think that way. Like, I just think of the one foot in front of the other, and then what happens, happens. I mean, you guys know, like, I don't even watch stuff that I'm in, by and large.
So. I don't even think you watch the L Word.
I watched in the beginning, like, I remember when we first started that first season, Eileen made me, like, I went over to her house and she made me watch the first four episodes, maybe even more, because she knew that I didn't watch myself. And she said, I really want you to see this. I know, because she was really proud of it. I think for me, I really wanted to do it, even though it was sort of begrudgingly because I can't watch myself, because I wanted to understand what I would be promoting. You know, when I went out to do PR, because there's the script and there's your idea of the show. But then once it gets filmed and once it gets cut, it sometimes can morph into something else. And I remember watching the first, you know, however many episodes that was, and leaving her house and seeing heterosexual couples. I thought, God, that's so weird. Like, it had completely shifted my perspective, and I was really excited about that idea that it could do that for other people who really needed that shift.
Specifically though, like, when you first started doing scenes with Laurel, were you like, we have something magical here, we have something that people are gonna be able to sink into, a relationship? It's one of the couples that will outlast the show. I think it's the staple couple.
I didn't think of that at all. Like, I thought, I'm really lucky to have a scene partner that I connect with and that I trust. But in order to do what you're talking about would require me to be both present and outside of myself and outside of the experience. And when I'm doing it, I really just try to be there. I'd given myself the luxury of voicing to Eileen my hope for the show, that it would reach somebody in the middle, some young girl in the middle of nowhere who had no access to her community, and that she would see the L Word and see herself represented in some way, however imperfect, and that she would know that she had connection.
Right, exactly, because we really need it, that's for sure. We're starved for content always. But even today, like, with the show on the air again, there are so many Tibet fans.
I think you pronounce it Tibet.
Okay, so for the Tibet fans, this is really for them. Do you understand their need inside to have closure with Bet and Tina? Do you take responsibility in any way? Like, I feel responsible for telling the story of Alice's grief over Dana.
Right.
It's something that I still feel like needs to be told. Mm-hmm. And I'll do whatever I can to tell that story before we end the show. Like, do you have some sort of...
Yes. If I could, I would do the same thing with Carmen, just to give people a little bit of closure. We can close that chapter for good and move on, because people commit to certain relationships that they just can't get enough of.
Right, right. And there's some truth in there that people connect to. And I think for me, for Bette, Tina is the love of her life, period. Like, no matter who else comes along, Tina will be the love of her life. And there will always be a wondering how, if, when they could be together again. And that doesn't mean that she won't meet, you know, other people that are really interesting or that are really beautiful or sensual, but they will never mean what Tina meant to her. And as long as the two of them are alive, there is a possibility. I think that's how Bette thinks.
I love that. That's a great answer.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Rocket Money. I used Rocket Money again last week.
How many? Are you okay?
I don't know.
You have a lot of subscriptions you forget about.
You know what it is? Because I get these apps and you have to pay for everything you get these days. And I think, all right, well, I'll use this for a few days and I'll cancel it. But I forget.
And you have forget to every week that you forgot last week.
Yes.
Thank God you have Rocket Money. Before I started using Rocket Money myself, I thought I had about like, I don't know, 6 subscriptions. No, Kate, I had like 15.
15?
Yes. I was like, clear it, clear it, clear it, get rid of it. And Rocket Money is like, we have your back. Because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can start to grow your savings.
Plus, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pants. That's rocketmoney.com/pants. Say it, Kate.
That's rocketmoney.com/pants.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you think that starting off last year, was that in your brain or is that something you realized as we were filming that past season?
Oh, no, I've known that always. Tina's the whole package for Bette, and I think Bette realizes all of the mistakes that she made and how she blew it and really would like to take that back somehow.
Do you think it's because you two share a child together, or do you think... Like, what if you met this fantastic woman, right? Or Bette did, sorry. If Bette met the most fantastic woman that, as a partner, would even surpass what you and Tina had together. Do you think that's... It's much like how we've all had relationships and you think it's the one and then it's not the one and then you meet someone else and now they're a distant memory. Like, do you think someone could replace that feeling? Or you're like, no matter how fantastic the partner would be, that's Tina's it.
Well, I think, you know, Bette could maybe come to terms with the fact that she wasn't going to be with Tina anymore, at least outwardly facing. And certainly, and hopefully, she'll meet really wonderful people that excite her on many, many different levels. But there's something about that early relationship. There's something about that early relationship that spans for that amount of time and where you've both decided to... have a child. I mean, going back to the notion of time, like I think that time is in reality this complex series of events that we project our ideas of past, present, and future onto. So it's like a layer cake, and in any bite you're getting all different things at the same time. And I think that being with Tina is being able to experience past, present, and future simultaneously. And so there is like this incredible promise of of growth and expansion in all these different ways. And I think that Bet just kicks herself over and over and over again for, you know, fucking that up. Pardon my French.
That's what I love about Bet.
I know, right?
Yeah, seriously. I was curious, back in Vancouver when we were doing the show, you and Laurel had storylines with real significant consequence and a lot of history. And then you had people like Leisha and Aaron and myself, the three idiots. Was there ever a time that we drove you crazy?
Oh my gosh, no.
Because we laugh about that. Well, we just look back, we just think, God, you know, we pretty much were the Greek chorus for the first year or two, where we would sit in the coffee shop and, you know, give our opinions and say, you know, million-dollar phrases and, you know, have lots of thoughts on things. But none of it was really ever based in serious consequence. That happened later on. We were just like the sidekicks. And I was curious.
You were the cool girls. That's what you guys
Yeah,
were.
I was the cool sidekick. So I think our approach to the work was maybe different because the scenes we had, they were just like fun bantery scenes. And so that's kind of how we came into work every day. And that's why I'm wondering if you ever just thought we were complete fucking idiots.
Jennifer would never answer that.
Yes, she would.
Can you imagine her just going, yeah, actually.
Yeah. It's like, what, 16, 17 years later? Who cares?
Fucking idiots. Oh, every God, time you came guys. In the room, I was like, fucking idiots.
If someone said, did I drive you nuts? And they drove me nuts. I'd be like, you know what? You kind of drove me nuts a little bit. But I love you anyway. It's okay. Who cares?
Oh, I miss you. I really, really miss you. You never drove me nuts ever. But what I have to say that I'm really grateful for is that, you know, you and I, Kate, at least got to do more scenes together.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Because we never got to work together. And I'm hoping, Leish, that we can next season we can have more scenes together.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I miss you.
I know, we got to have a little fight.
You know what I want? Like, I just want us three to have a scene where we're just being goofy and fucking fun, because
I know, right?
My favorite ideas was the Burning Man idea,
but I'm still gonna hold out hope that they'll do something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be really funny and fun.
When you were young, did you know that you wanted to be an actress? And if not, what kind of jobs did you have before you fell into this industry?
My first thing that I remember, like my earliest memory of, you know, like career goals, was wanting to be a dishwasher. Because I remember the first time, like when I was 5 or something, and my mom, you know, let me help wash the dishes, and I had my hands in the water, and I had responsibility. I was like, this is amazing. Is there a job that somebody can do? And then the next thing was I wanted to be a jockey.
A horse jockey?
Wow. Horse jockey. Then I got to be too tall.
That shin injury might have impeded that dream as well.
Oh, that's true.
I wasn't afraid of horses, though. Even though I got kicked, I wasn't afraid of them. Like, I would still go exercise polo ponies and do stuff and
round
horses. Did you ever work in retail or, like, as a waitress?
Oh, but I did work in, oh my gosh, I worked at Baskin-Robbins and Bressler's, like, at the same time.
Did you eat all the ice cream?
Oh my God, it was so depressing. I would work during the winter time.
At an ice cream shop?
At an ice cream shop in Chicago.
Yeah, that's boring.
Thank you. And so there was hardly anybody would come in except for, you know, drug dealers or people who were really stoned. And there just wasn't really anything to do. And I remember going downstairs into the little basement area, the storage area where they kept all the ice cream, just opening up this like 2 gallon or however many gallon thing of peanut butter and vanilla and just eating it.
Eating it?
Eating.
Did you really?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel for the person who opened it and was like, what the hell's been going on here? Yeah, and I remember when I applied, because I lied about my age, I was 14. And she said, oh, you're so mature for 18. And
sucka, like, I'm going to come eat your peanut butter ice cream.
I can relate to your dishwashing, because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a doorman. I wanted to open the doors for people, and I wanted to take them up in the elevator.
Oh, yes, the elevator.
And I thought that was the coolest job. And I was thinking that's what I'm going to be when I grow up. And I even said that out loud for many, many years. And I thought there's nothing wrong with being a doorman. And my parents were like, nope, you could totally be a doorman if that's what you want to do.
Did you have a job, Kate? Like a teenager job?
Yeah, I worked at a pizza stand in the Jersey Shore. I think it was in Ocean City, New Jersey, when I was like 17. And I did it with a friend of mine, and my friend got fired for mouthing off to the boss. But the boss was an asshole. He was like a real chauvinistic dick. My friend called and said, yeah, I just got canned. And I thought, well, I don't want to work at this pizza joint without my friend with this idiot boss. And like, no. So I quit. He's a real Me Too kind of guy, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he was that kind of guy.
He sounds wonderful.
He was. He was wonderful.
I worked at a movie theater for years, and it was an awesome job to have as a teenager.
You worked at a movie theater?
Yeah. I worked at the concession stand. I had like unlimited amounts of Cherry Coke and popcorn. I worked with all of my friends, and we could see movies whenever we wanted to on our days off. We could just go from movie to movie, so we got to see free movies. We would bag the popcorn at the end of the night and either take some home or put it in each other's cars. It was like a prank. So you'd like open your car door, and it would be covered in like a garbage bag full of popcorn.
Is this where your obsession with popcorn came from? No, like, you have a legitimate obsession with popcorn.
I do, and it I wouldn't say it started there, but my dad taught me how to be obsessed with popcorn. He makes the best popcorn you've ever had. I told you the trick, the paper bag trick. You know what? I'll post a video on the Pants Instagram of how to make popcorn, the Robert Haley way.
You did the smoke popcorn too.
Well, Jamie did that.
Well, it was good, whoever did it.
Once. We could do that too, but just some straight up popcorn, there's nothing better. And I'll show you how to make it.
Okay. I want to talk to you about your uniform. You had a uniform, right? I'm sure you did something to it.
I just had to wear baby blue button-ups, so whatever you had at home.
It wasn't just, you couldn't just wear a uniform. That's not going to happen.
Oh, I did.
How did you make your special? Because I know you did.
I don't remember if I like bedazzled it or anything. I probably
Let
did.
Let me see. I'll just take the truck and run over it like five times.
I think they made us keep it pretty plain.
I think I remember giving you a few of my t-shirts to run over, like during the first or second season of the
award.
Yeah.
Hey, I might have learned that from you. Run over clothes with your car.
I don't run over clothes. I run over shoes.
Okay. Just to be exact.
I got a pair of Doc Martens when we were in Vancouver. I bought a pair and I got into Shane's Jeep.
Yeah.
Right. And I had learned how to drive stick. And so I was backing over these brand new Doc Marten boots I bought in Shane's Jeep just to break them in, because Docs hurt when you first put them on. They kind of scuff your heel. And I just remember like going back and forth over them. To break him in. That's my secret.
Nice.
Okay.
You know.
Maybe you could do an instructional video of that.
Sure.
Do you remember how we made that quilt for Laurel?
And Mia had her square, and she like did it with all like Sharpie or something.
Yeah. I feel like the cast used to like every year there was something we were making together as a cast. Like there was when we redecorated the craft service area.
That was epic.
Nobody knows about that story, the craft service area.
I think that was second season.
It was.
Sort of like our office, because nobody had one. So it was like we always met in the craft service room. It was this tiny room, and it was a little bit just dank, you know, depressing little corner room. And Mia was like, well, I think it would be great if we built a wishing tree and we painted all the walls a rainbow color. So we looked up all these.
Do you remember why? It was because second season was so strange. Like, there was a really weird feeling, and we were all feeling something odd, and we couldn't figure it out. And we're like, I think it was me. It was like, feng shui, let's change the
Right.
So we spent a couple of Saturdays.
No, we did it all in one day, and we painted the room in stripes. So we would have like a bold stripe of purple, then a bold stripe of blue, a bold stripe of yellow. To our credit, we really got those lines very straight and clean.
It was like a good tape job.
We did a great tape job.
And we did this on a weekend.
Like a nursery when we were done.
It did. They were pastel colors, and it was a fade. It was like a faded pastel rainbow that went to the floor. We were so proud of it. And then we made a wishing tree in the corner for the cast and crew, where you would write something on a paper and then hang it on the tree, and it had hundreds of wishes on it.
I love the wishing tree. I thought it was such a great idea.
It looked like a nursery that would be in Moldova.
And the crew was like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's nice, eh? You know, it was like...
People actually did the wishing tree.
I loved it. That was fun.
But yeah, the quilt was another year.
They took the wishing tree. They would write down the wishes and they would get dumped in some sort of lockbox. Remember that? Because we had little strips of paper with pencils, and they took the crew members took time to write out their wishes.
And not just, you know, wishes like, hey, can we have more, you know, beef jerky? It's like wishes for the world. And...
That's funny, Jennifer. I could really do with more boiled eggs. Let me hang that on the tree.
I think I saw one wish one time that said, I wish the season would end sooner.
Oh, my God.
God, you guys.
All right, let's talk one more Bette question, which is, so Kate and I share this in common, that our favorite thing about Bette is when she goes batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like that scene where you've got...
That's temper tantrums.
Oh, I love it. You'll like have a tank top on and you'll get out of a car, you'll slam the door. Motherfucker! Like when you get those crazy, like, I live for it and I can't wait for you to have another one. Do you think it's bubbling and like we might see one next season?
Well, I think it comes from, first of all, I love you so much. I think those moments come out of like really righteous anger. And I don't think they don't have anything to do with what's happening at that particular moment. It's like a buildup of things that have happened. And so that moment is a release for all those other moments. So one of my favorite ones is the guy with the car, like in the car.
I was just going to say that.
Love.
I love that guy so much. And that guy is a friend of Eileen's. And he was so game for anything. And but then again, you know, that's like a release thing with all the things that are happening with Tina. But it has to be earned. You can't just go, okay, Bette gets angry. Like it has to be, you have
well,
to build
by the
it.
Of
you
your
have to build
last
it
season,
over, you know, episode you, after episode.
You're kind of due, if you want my personal opinion.
You kind of went through the roller coaster of emotions last year. You've earned a flip out easily.
Yeah, but I don't know that it has to be like, I think anyway, like there's a righteous element to it. And I think you pointed it out, Leisha, like there's the thing about injustice that sets her off.
I did say that. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that has to be built in. It can't just be anger for anger's sake.
It can't be artificial. No. I remember that scene you did. You grab that guy. I've never seen it done in a better way, where you grab that guy and you throw him against the car and you have your, I think you have your sunglasses on that had a red tint to it. What does he say? He says something really shitty to you. And you're like, you want to see what I can do? You want to see what I can do? And you're like throwing him up against the car.
You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry or something. And I say, how do you know I'm not already?
Oh, it's fucking brilliant. Anyway, it's iconic. It's iconic. He actually looked terrified. That was the other thing. I don't know if that man knew how deep you were going to get into that, but the guy looked terrified.
Well, I remember asking him. I said, you know, is it okay if I grab you? Is it okay if I push you over on the car? I just wanted to set boundaries. So I wanted to set parameters. I didn't want to just throw him against the car and see what would happen.
Sure, but you grabbed him and like threw him up against the car. That's what made it so great. I don't think he was expecting it, is what I'm saying. He was like, wow, this woman is strong, because you were boom, right up against the side of the car.
Fun. It was fun.
Yeah, and let me be clear. When you have this moment again, don't do it to us.
Yeah, I get it.
I just want to watch it on TV.
Or I want to be in the scene, just not have it directed towards me.
All three of us had that thing towards someone or something else. Like we all three had a shared goal, you know, that we're all trying to accomplish together. I think that's when it gets interesting too.
Wait, say more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think about the days when Bette was trying to get the show on and at the CAC, and there was a goal. And so there's all these things that get in the way of that goal, like to put provocations on. Just, I think it would be fun. Like if Bette and Shane and Alice had something that they shared that they were trying to get done or trying to help someone, whether it's Angie or whatever.
Like a Goonies project. I'm down.
A caper.
Oh yeah, like when we stole the sign.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's always to help one of us. Like there's someone we need to help out of the three of us.
That's right.
It's really challenging because this moment in time for so many people is really terrifying. And I just think to myself that I have to use this time for whatever self-discovery I can muster, and I have to use this time to help other people. You know, there was the moments earlier on in this experience, which we call the great pause in my household, where
I like that.
I go out into the forest. I hug a lot of trees for sure.
You're laughing, but you know that I do. I know that's why you're
alone.
Laughing.
Alone.
And I have my favorites, too. I do. I have my favorites.
Have you seen other people also hugging trees at the same time? Do you guys look at each other? Oh, hey. Yeah, no, I'll be done in a minute.
Oh, you want this tree? Oh, yeah. Just give me a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. I hugged that last week. Yeah.
Jennifer, you know we love you. And we know podcasts aren't your thing, but we appreciate you coming on and
we really do
chatting with us because we miss you so much. It's like, it's weird. We spent so much time together.
We got to get back together.
Yeah, the band has got to get back together.
I know. I miss you guys. It's so strange not to see you all the time.
We were inseparable from February of 2019 to December of 2019. And then this shit happened. And Jennifer, it's like this is the longest it's been since I've seen you.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Like, and I don't like it.
We were like the magic triangle.
I don't like it. I really can't wait to see you in person and be allowed to hug you without killing you and vice versa.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right, we love you so much.
I love you guys too.
Yes.
Miss you.
Stay safe up there.
I think I said that 5 million times, but it's true. I do. I miss you.
We'll see you soon. Okay.
Pants. Pants. Brought to you by Leisha Haley and Kate Manning. Listen and subscribe on Acast, wherever you get your podcasts. If you want us to keep going, hit the subscribe button and follow us on Twitter at The Pants Pod. If you like us, leave a review on iTunes. We'll read every single one of them. You can email us at pantspodcast@yahoo.com. We'll answer a few questions every week. Rachel Shelley is our editor and producer in the UK. Theme song by Carolina Parra. Graphics by Love Fox. Pants.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.